And now, Prophecy Q&A with Dr. Jimmy DeYoung and Jimmy DeYoung Jr.
Thank you, Jay Johnson. This is Jimmy DeYoung Jr. and you're listening to Prophecy Q&A Live. It's great to be with you again this week, coming to you from San Antonio, Texas, from our studios. And I'm getting ready to leave on our weekend, our week-long trip of opening up Life University in Bucharest, Romania. And we'll be doing that with Julian. And I've talked about Julian the last couple of weeks. And I want to give you an opportunity to hear his testimony again and what his vision is for the youth there. And we'll do that real quickly, just so that you get caught up. And then we'll get to our Q&A questions. But I want to remind you about our Israel trip coming up this fall, October 21st through November 3rd. We still have space available for you to go with us. It's a great trip. Now is a great time to go. You know, we are always addressing the situation and questions that are going on, especially people calling me. In fact, earlier today, I had a question from a ministry head here in San Antonio, Texas, and maybe I'll have him on in the future. Mark Johnson and his ministry called Taking It to the Streets. He has a program for the homeless of San Antonio, and he called me. He said, "Jimmy, what's your take on what's happening in September?" And so I just shared with him the same thing that we have been sharing and that we share in our weekend programs that both Dad and Dave James have been talking about. And from a biblical perspective and really laying it out for him. And so those are some of the things that we have been addressing and talking about. And we're going to take a look at some of those issues. But, you know, there are a lot of questions about what's going on around the world, and a trip to Israel would help straighten those questions out for you, because we look at Israel past, Israel present, and Israel in the future. What's God's plan? And what his plan was for the Jewish people in the past, his plan for the Jewish people right now, and his plan for the Jewish people in the future. And I think that is so very important as you're looking at and trying to figure out what's happening in the world, what God's plan is. And this will make it come much clearer to you as you perhaps want to go with us. Sign up. Go to our website, Joshua Travel. That's off of our main website, prophecytoday.com, or you can go to joshuatravel.com and find out about the possibility of joining us in our trip in Israel. We also have our prophecy conference in Chattanooga, Tennessee. That's coming up September 7th, 8th, and 9th. Join with us there as Dave James and Dad teach two very timely topics. Dad is going to be teaching a brand new topic on the kingdom. Not yet or now, whenever it's going to be. He's going to be teaching that from the book of Matthew. And I am so excited because we have a brand new video that goes along with it. Basically that my brother has produced. I've helped him do some of it. And I think that you will find that fascinating as to what the future holds and what all this talk about the kingdom is about. And I gave you those dates, 7, 8, 9. It's actually September 8th, 9th, and 10th in Chattanooga, Tennessee. You're welcome to come join with us. You can take them for credit. You could also just come and enjoy the conference. Be there with us. Sit in on these classes. And what better way to come to a scenic city like Chattanooga, Tennessee, and take the time to relax, to go to a conference and fellowship with myself, Dave James, my father, other men that are going to be there that are taking the class, pastors from around the country that will be there working on their doctorate level classes. They'll be in there and taking those classes, and I think that you will find that. Dave James is actually doing a very good seminar on one that is a present, Signs, Wonders, and the Charismatic Movement, and what it's all about. You know, I think that we need to be educated, we need to be edified, and this happens in those classes, and you'll get from a proper understanding of God's Word, how all of these events fit in and how they fit into our lives, and really how we should view them. What should we do about the kingdom? And what should we do about signs, wonders, and the charismatic movement as part of the body of Christ? So hopefully we'd like to see you there or on our trip to Israel. And I just wanted to for you to get a taste of my ministry and what I'll be doing and working with Iulian Avramescu in Romania. This is an interview that I did with Iulian about a year ago, I believe, when I was there. I was doing a conference. He has scheduled conferences and put me in churches and with his young people and teaching prophecy. And so I want you to hear from his words, his ministry, and his vision for the country of Romania. I wanted you, as last week I talked about Iulian and the ministry that's going here, and I wanted you to get to know him because you are praying for us, and I also want some of you to consider. I gave you his website to consider supporting the ministry that's here. Iulian, introduce yourself. How you doing, brother?
I'm doing great. Thank you, Jimmy. It's really good to be here with you in Romania, and I'm doing good. I'm just excited to have the time with you and with our team, our staff, and with the churches that we work in this area of the country, and just blessed to be able to share the gospel, and not only the gospel, but to equip the Romanian people with hermeneutics and how to study the Bible and be able to be ready for the things to come.
Yes. Hey, and we're going to talk about the conference here.
Mm-hmm.
And this is not where it began, though. Mm-hmm. Let's go back to where... Tell me a little bit about your history, in a nutshell,
mm-hmm.
Where you came from, how God saved you,
mm-hmm.
where you went, your education. Just give me your life story in a nutshell, if you can.
Okay, Jimmy. I grew up in an Orthodox family, and I haven't known anything about God. I never heard the word God until after the revolution in 89 when Ceausescu, the communist dictator, fell down. And I was almost 9 years old when that happened.
So here in Romania, communism mm-hmm. fell in 1989.
December 89, yes.
Uh-huh. And you took me the other day to the square where it all started.
Yes.
As a matter of fact, we've even talked about a lot of people remember one of the first pastors that kind of led that.
Mm-hmm.
What was his name again?
Peter Dugulescu.
Yeah.
Peter Dugulescu, awesome man of God, and he had a lot of influence. It's all started by singing Christmas carols.
Wow.
And churches start gathering, more youth start gathering, and then the students from Timișoara start gathering, and the military didn't like that, the communist leaders, seeing so many young people together, and they tried to spread them. And that's when the revolution basically started.
That's amazing. Right in the area where we are right now is where the over singing Christmas carols is what brought down the mighty communist control over the country of Romania. Your grandfather was a driver for...
Yes, was the personal driver for Ceausescu, and which was amazing for me to see that, because even though he was not involved in politics, my grandfather, he was a man of character, but I got to hear the stories behind mm-hmm. the scenes yeah. from my grandfather about Ceausescu, and you know, everybody knows right now, today, after so many years, that the fault of everything, everybody blames more his wife, Ceausescu's wife,
wow.
Than Ceausescu, because she was really, really evil behind mm-hmm. the scenes. But I grew up until I was 9 years old under communism, and I remember the long lines where I was... Sometimes my mom, in the morning, before she would go to work, she would put me in line to buy milk or bread or meat. And the lines were so long that she would come back from work to pick up at the line. And I always remember my back was hurting, and she would send me home. She would replace me coming from work and staying in line to buy just regular groceries. Nothing
wow.
special, just food. But I grew up like that, nothing about God. And then after revolution, my dad left the country. He ran away to Canada to make a better future for our family. And long story short, he came back years later, but he was so proudful of what he would accomplish that he spent all the money on nothing, you know. And I got really disappointed. I was in high school, and it was hard for me because all these years when he was gone, I was praying that God will bring him home. I started going to church, to the Orthodox church, kissing all the icons I could kiss, and just begging God to bring my dad home. And when my dad came, he disappointed me by spending all the money, not really coming home, going to his family, you know, doing crazy stuff, spending the money on alcohol and women and stuff like that. But it was during my critical years of being a teenager when I needed him the most and my hope was in him. And that's when I started being very rebellious against my parents and everything they did. And I forgot about God, and I had my rebellious years during high school. But in the last year of high school, a friend of mine invited me to a Bible club. And I went there, and that's when I met for the first time Christians. Christians that worship God differently from what I was accustomed to.
Wow.
I thought that, you know, kissing an icon and going to church and sitting there listening to a priest that you have no idea what he's saying, it's what makes you a Christian. But it was just a good feeling that I had, and immediately after that, I was back to my regular non-Christian life. And in January 99, 10 years after the revolution, you know, I accepted a missionary came and spoke the message, you know, how Christ came and gave his life for me, and that I am a sinner and I deserve to go to hell, but Christ paid the price and I can have a relationship with God through Christ and confessing him as Lord and Savior. And that's what I did on January 16, 1999.
Wow.
And my life has been different ever since. I was so grateful for God opening my eyes that I said, God, what do you want me to do? And a few months later, through my quiet time, God spoke to me in Mark chapter 1 and 2, come and I'll make you a fisherman. And I knew that moment that God wants me to become a missionary, one of his servants. And 2 years later, I went to Word of Life Bible Institute in Hungary.
Budapest. Now, before that, you had to make a sacrifice and a decision because you were, if I'm correct, you were a fencer.
Yes.
On Romania's Olympic team or going that way, headed in that direction?
Yes, I was very tall and I am still tall, but I was a good fencer. The moment my dad left home, my mom said, you need to do something to stay out of trouble. And she put me into a fencing club and I did 9 years of fencing. And I was in the national team. I won 2 medals in Romania in the national competition, silver and bronze. And I was in the Olympic team going to the Olympics. I didn't go because I had to pay back then $12,000 and I didn't have that amount of money to do it. But anyway, yes, when God called me, I knew, he told me immediately in my heart that if I want to follow him 100%, I need to give up on the sins in my life.
Wow.
And fencing was not a sin, but being part of fencing, some things were sins.
Right.
And I knew that was not something pleasing to God and will keep me away from growing in my Christian faith.
Mm. That, folks, just in case you just tuned in, this is Prophecy Q&A. And this week I'm here with my good friend Julian. And we're hearing about the work that's going on here in Romania. Julian, so you made a decision, mm-hmm. and you decided not to go, and you dedicated your life. And from there, you went to where?
I went to Word of Life in Hungary, to Budapest, to the Bible Institute. And I studied there for 2 years, which was a life-changing experience for me. And I knew that I needed more to grow. And that's when I start praying for God to open the doors for me to continue my studies. And God opened the doors for me to go to Tennessee Temple University, mm-hmm. Where I got my master's. And during that time, I also was ordained and licensed as a minister at one of the churches there and worked there for a couple of years. And then God opened the door for me to go to Southwestern Baptist Theological Seminary in Fort Worth, Texas, and I started my doctorate. And long story short, I went in U.S. in 2003 and stayed there until 2008. But I promise God, if he helps me go to U.S. to finish my education, I'll come back to Romania. And you see, I finished my education in 05, my master's. Mm-hmm. And I was going for my doctorate afterwards. But God was in 08, tagged on my heart and said, Julian, you are here working on your doctorate. You are 3 years later after you finish your education, what we were talking about, planning for. And he reminded me of a verse that he placed on my heart, how I always knew that I'm going to serve my country in Romania, Ezra 7:10, where he said, "For Ezra has set his heart to study the law of the Lord, to practice it and to teach his statutes and ordinances in Israel." And you know, the story is that Ezra was in Babylon and he goes back to his own country. And God, on the way back home from church, as I was driving, brought that verse back and just struck me right there. And I went back home. I told to my wife what was happening. And 2 weeks later, we were back in Romania.
Wow.
So,
and I mean, you were at the great Prestonwood Church in Dallas.
Yes.
And you had been... Mm-hmm. working in this, and then God just impressed upon your heart to come back to the land.
Yes, I was working there, you know, for 2.5 years, almost 3 years, and I was involved in a few other ministries like Bridge Builders and Man-to-Man Ministries, and I realized that I was chasing a rabbit that God never intended for me to do.
Wow.
And I came back home in March, 08 with my wife and one son back then. We have two sons now, a 5-year-old and a 7-year-old. And we started what God placed on my heart in my quiet time, where he says, go disciple, train the youth leaders of the churches to become counselors and bring non-believers to camps. Because you see, our main ministry is also camp ministry. Mm-hmm. We try to reach Romania for Christ through camp ministry by training, equipping, and discipling the church, the Christians in Romania. But that's not something new. If we study communism, they've been doing this since the beginning. Mm-hmm. What they've been doing is indoctrinating the youth. For 20 years, they've been doing that in Romania. And 20 years later, that's in the 40s, Romania became communism. Mm. Because all the youth, they've been to communist camps for 20 years.
Wow.
So they changed Romania. It was not a revolution. You know, they didn't come here. And the same Stalin and Hitler, they started, if you study history, through youth camps. And our strategy is to use the youth camps to reach Romania for Christ.
That is great. So how many years now have you been doing the youth camps, and how many do you do? How many camps do you do each summer?
This was our 7th year in Romania, and we have 6 weeks of camp every summer. And each week of camp, we are in two different locations. We have 2 weeks here in the west side of Romania. Uh-huh. God willing, next year we're planning to have 3 weeks. And we have 4 weeks in the south part of Romania, which is the poorest area of the country. And so basically we have 6 weeks, but each week has a different group of kids and different ages. Mm-hmm. You know, 1 week, for example, is like 7 to 13. Then we have a 13 to 16 and so forth. And we teach them English. We teach them the Bible. We share the gospel with them. We have fun, you know, games, water games and paintball and
everything that youth like to do, right?
Yeah, exactly. We want to draw them through these activities and then give them Jesus.
Yeah, that's great. And by the way, I hope as you listen to Julian speak, you hear his message that he is saying. He's not inventing something new. Solomon said there's nothing new under the sun. Mm. He's doing the very same thing that communism did, and how communism came into these countries. And it's not just here in Romania. They did this in Hungary. They did this in the Czech Republic. They did this in Yugoslavia. Mm-hmm. They took the mind of the youth, and gradually, as those youth became older, mm-hmm. they were able to take over these countries. And, I mean, there's so much here. I mean, how communism fell by simply people wanting to do the right thing and Christians wanting to do the right thing mm-hmm. and rebelling against the government. How communism came to power and how now Julian is using this aspect of teaching the youth and well-rounded in all of Scripture, and that's why we are here. We're coming in. There are so many other churches that come in and help you. Yeah. So many other pastors that come here and help you. We are looking at doing a program in also in Bucharest on the eastern portion of the country in the future. Mm-hmm. And you know, it's just so neat, your commitment to, first of all, and not only your commitment, but now we're carrying on. My father mm-hmm. used to come here yeah. with another man, Wayne Barber and Bill Stafford. And that was in the 90s. They would come and kind of do the same thing. And there's so many pastors that are older pastors that come to me and say, hey, I remember your dad teaching Bible prophecy, yeah. and now you're here. And, you know, it's just neat how it all works together, how the Lord works with us, works with you. He's mm-hmm. working in your life. I want to encourage pastors or somebody that's out there to say, hey, you know, and if you're looking for a missions project to be a part of, come and be a part of Julian's emphasis in working with the youth here in the summertime. Not just the young kids, but teenagers, college kids. As a matter of fact, you probably might hear in the background. We're here at a small little conference hotel in Arad. He's got his staff. There's about 18 counselors and staff members that we are here building team building into. Mm-hmm. Last night, Julian put me to work. Yesterday, we talked about how to study the Bible, and we went over that. And then last night, we talked about cults. Really figuring out what questions that each one of these young people have, and let's address them.
Yeah.
Let's equip them to make decisions so yeah. that they can keep growing in the Lord, and we give them all the tools so that yeah. they can do that. And that's yeah.
Jimmy, that's very important, because this last summer we had 26 kids, Turkish kids, that came from a Muslim background that live in Romania, very poor area. And their parents don't allow them to speak Romanian. But the social workers, they take care of them, and they have to speak Romanian so they can get the benefits of the government. Mm-hmm. But anyway, they came to camp. And the fact that you are coming here and train them, learning about the God of the Bible, helps them and trains them to know how to answer when they are faced with questions. What about my God? Are we not worshiping the same God?
Yeah.
And it's not. And the fact that you are training this helps them to get trained yeah. and be able to share this with the kids and the, you know, different minorities that we have here in Romania with different religions, yeah. different cults, and so forth.
Yeah. Oh, it's so great to be here. You know, I was thinking, one of our good friends, a pastor that's not here with us this year but was here the first 2 years, mm-hmm. Cătălin
Covaci.
Yeah, Covaci. He's in Canada now. I yeah. talk about him often on our Q&A, and the desire. And it's so great to see the body of Christ as they're growing in an area where they need, and they are calling out to people that they want help. And I encourage any of you that are listening and are looking for a summer short-term mission, or you say, hey, I can't go, but I want to prayerfully pray for them and consider helping out the ministry. You can go to, what's your website, Julian?
It's liferomania.org.
Uh-huh. Real simple, yeah. liferomania.org. You can go there, you can listen to that. This week, we'll be here for the weekend and going through, looking really at a world that's in crisis, and how God's Word shows to us that this world is doing exactly what God has planned for it to do. Mm-hmm. And as we talk about the things that are happening around the world, we're also showing the folks that are here that God has a master plan. It's there. And we're not caught off guard. We know the world is acting as it is for a reason. This is God's plan, what his prophecy is for the future, everything that is foretold in his scriptures. It's all there. The questions that I spend each week answering as to, you know, about the rapture and about the tribulation and about these nations. And there's so much. You can go back and listen to so many of the programs and the answers that we give you. A third of God's word is about future events that are going to take place. If that was so important for him to include it in the way that he communicates with us, how much more important should it be to us? And Julian, you recognize that with the believers that are here, that, you know, there is a reason we are doing what we are doing.
Yeah.
To stay the course. And there's so many aspects of that as we teach and do these prophecy conferences. Mm-hmm. And I'm grateful to be able to be here and be a part of it with you. Again, thank you for your ministry. And we want to encourage you. I know that there are so many that listen and will be a part of praying for you and the ministry in the future. And thank you, Julian, for allowing us prophecy today and myself to be a part of the ministry that is here in Romania.
Man, Jimmy, this is it's our blessing. I see the teenagers, our staff, as they're watching you. I'm thinking about just this week, we're going to be in three churches that we work very close to, and you being here to bless them, and campers are going to be here to see you, to watch you as you teach, as you open up God's Word, and you teach them in a systematic way. And for them, this is a huge blessing for us. It's God's blessing to have you and be partnering together. And I'm sure it will be a blessing to many of us, to especially to the young generation, because it's all about them, teaching them how to see how God speaks through His Word to us, each one of us, and be able to have you here and listen to you. It's just a blessing to me. It's a dream coming true for me.
All right. God bless you, Julian.
God bless you too, Jimmy. Thank you for having me.
Well, again, pray for us. Thank you so much, all of you who supported us to get here. We are still helping. And if you want to be a part, it's the first time you're hearing about our trip over here, and you want to help us, pray for Julian and the ministry here. And we're providing some of the books and DVDs that our ministry is. If you want to give and say, hey, I want to help provide some of those things for the ministry, then go ahead and do that. And great ministry here. Go to liferomania.org is the ministry that's going on here. And man, there's a lot of information there. Things as you hear Julian's heart and as he speaks about communism in the past and what they're doing today. And I feel very privileged to be here. Well, I'm sure as you listen to Julian speak, and I know as I do, I catch his vision for the young people of Romania. And this week, on Saturday, Dr. Heath Marion, a pastor from a Dallas seminary grad from he's a pastor in Dallas. He and I will be going over there to kick off the first of the MIA University, Life University in Romania for the young people. And we're so excited about that. Be praying for us. We'll be teaching, each of us will be teaching about 5 hours of classes a day. So either pray for us or pray for the students that are in those classes. But I'm so excited about the opportunity to be a part of this. And you can too be a part with us. Partner with us by praying. And if the Lord leads in your heart, financially give to that ministry. Well, again, thank you so much for joining us today. This is a Prophecy Q&A program, and so let's get to some of those questions that have been sent in. Brother George sends in a question. He says, which one happens first, the rapture or Israel bombing Iran's power plants? Well, as we look at Scripture, and I don't know, Brother George, I believe that the rapture can happen at any moment. So I believe that the rapture is going to happen first. But, and there's only one thing out of the 1,000 prophecies pertaining to Christ's first and second coming, 500 have been fulfilled. The remaining 500 prophecies left to be fulfilled, I believe, happen after the rapture of the church. The rapture is the next thing that happens on God's calendar, or His timetable, if you will, of events that are going to take place. And that's really, the rapture is the catalyst that starts the rest of the 500 to be fulfilled. And a part of those 500 prophecies left to be fulfilled, there is an alignment of nations, and Iran is a part of those alignment of nations mentioned in Ezekiel 38. Psalm 83, Daniel chapter 11, those nations that will come against Israel. And so they will line up, and there's an alignment of nations, along, I believe, with Russia, that will come, and Syria, Egypt, Libya, Somalia, Sudan, Ethiopia, and then you've got Iran is a part of those groups, which includes Pakistan and Afghanistan, I believe. So you see these nations that are in the news today, the common denominator being that they're Islamic. You start to see these nations that are going to align and come against Israel. Now, does that mean that Israel won't do a preemptive strike before the rapture of the church? That very well could happen. And I know that as we report on our weekend program about events that are taking place in the Mideast, Israel is watching out for their own country, so to speak, their livelihood, their survival. We know that God is going to protect them. And will perhaps there be a preemptive strike before the rapture of the church? Very well could be that the rapture might not happen for another, 2 years, 5 years, 10 years. I believe that we are so close that we're living in the last seconds before the rapture takes place. There's only one thing that needs to happen, and God is holding the gates of heaven open for people to come to know him as their personal savior, as that one that God provided through his death on the cross, through Christ's death on the cross. That's God's plan of redemption so that mankind, men that are living today, since the beginning of the church in Acts chapter 2, that's the way that God has provided for man to be holy, to have a relationship with God. There's nothing else that we need to do. There's no other way to the Father. In fact, that's what Jesus said in John chapter 14. Remember those last words he gave to his disciples before they went out into the world. He said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father except through me, but by me." And that's what Jesus said. And there's nothing else that we need to do today except that most important event in history, the death, burial, and resurrection. Well, George, I've gone a little bit further in my explanation, but there very well could be Israel could attack, do a preemptive attack on Iran. But that doesn't play into prophecy. Iran still will come after Israel. And as we watch the events that are taking place, it only shows us with these alignment of nations coming together, shows us how close the rapture of the church is. So I don't know if I've helped you, George, but hopefully you'll see what I'm talking about and you'll understand that either one. But I believe the rapture is going to take place before, certainly before Iran comes to wipe Israel off the face of the map. Brother George, keep studying the Word. Great question, great thoughts, and keep following and studying God's Word. It'll help you in your daily life. John McBean sends in a question. He says, August 22nd, 2015, Prophecy Today Weekly, you state that the rapture cannot occur on a Jewish feast day. Where is the scripture verse that supports this? I thought the rapture could occur at any time. Well, you're absolutely right. And as I remember the conversation with my father, since I produce the weekend radio programs, he was specifically saying, because there are people out there, John, that are saying that are looking towards the feast days as to when the rapture will occur. It could happen. It could happen right within the next few moments before this program's done, or before this evening completes, or this day is completed, or before we head into tomorrow. It can happen at any point in time, but specifically what we meant is that the rapture is not going to occur on a feast day specifically. It can happen on a feast day. It can happen at any point in time. In fact, that's when the disciples asked Jesus, when is your return going to be? He said, I don't even know. Only my Father in heaven knows. So it very well could be, but I would very much be against anybody that tries to set a particular day. I believe the rapture is an imminent event. It can happen at any moment. It's going to catch a lot of people unaware, as a thief that intrudes your home catches you unaware. And a lot of times that's what that phrase is referring to. As a thief in the night, we're going to be caught unaware of the events that are going to take place in the future, beginning with the rapture of the church. And there are going to be a lot of Christians that are not thinking about a rapture or not prepared. The rapture causes me, John, no matter when it's going to be, whether it's now, a week from now, a year from now, 2 years, 10 years from now, and it should cause every believer to have his house in order, to his personal life, his personal Christian life in order. And because when the rapture takes place, we are in Revelation chapter 4 and 5, we are ushered immediately into the throne room of heaven, standing before our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to give an account to how we lived our lives. We're just not saying that only look to the feast days. And some are saying Rosh Hashanah, or some are saying Yom Kippur. It's not, I mean, it could happen, but it's not specifically going to happen on that day. So that's what we mean by that. But my father, myself, many men that we relate to, work with, we believe that the rapture could happen at any moment, and it could happen today. And let's be prepared. Thank you, John, for sending in and seeking clarification on that statement. Hey, here's a question, or it's actually a comment that's made, and I agree with you. David Kent Walsh sends in sends in a comment to us. He says, hey, Jimmy, this is David. I went to the Word of Life Bible Institute a couple of years ago. I've heard several people close to me say that they've been hearing or reading from a Jewish Christian theologian, and it's most likely Jonathan Kahn. In fact, I'm 99% sure it's Jonathan Kahn or Mark Bilt, and saying who have claimed that the 70 weeks of Daniel, or at least some of the last weeks, have predicted 9/11, the 2008 stock exchange disaster, and how a calamity coming in September, and probably something happening in another 7 years after that. I clearly remember and have argued that in the Bible, the 69 weeks has led up to Christ's death, which we agree with. That's Daniel chapter 9. And then stop for the age of the church. Then once the rapture happens, the 70th week, which is the tribulation, will start. So in no way did the weeks or the Bible refer to any of these calamities, and the weeks are done until the rapture, which is then one more. And that would be the 70th week, that seven-year period of time. That's what God has revealed to us in the Bible, right? Yes, you are absolutely right, David Walsh. And he says, thank you so much. And I just want to confirm that. Again, you know, simply, we just need to go to Scripture. We try to make our Scripture, you know, fit the world in which we're living in, and that's a stretch with some of these. And in fact, I encourage you, listen this weekend. Not only to, I will interview my dad on some of these questions on our weekend radio program, but our interviews with David James in the past, we've talked about these things. And David's actually written a book where, you know, he proves that, you know, Mark Biltz and Jonathan Kahn's new book on the Shemitah and the Harbinger, it's a far stretch for them to make these things. And that's what people try to do. They really do. It's like the Bible codes. People go through, you can make codes say anything if you come up with enough numbers and letters. So I think that we need to be very careful. Take the Word of God as it is, literally. Read it, understand it, study it, and it will help you, just like Daniel did. Daniel understood the times in which he was living. I know I say this often, but it is such a poignant point to make. Daniel understood the times that he was living simply by reading the prophet Jeremiah and his writings. And these things are put over a third of God's word is about future events. If it's that important to God, how much more important should it be to us? With humbleness, chastening ourselves, humbling ourselves before the Lord, set our minds to understand the things and the times in which we're living. Unfortunately, and here's the biggest problem I have with this, is that a lot of these people that are finding these things out, you know, they're chasing after this instead of doing the things that God would want us to do, His plan for each one of our lives. That gentleman that I talked earlier to today in his ministry, and I said, you know what? We need to be about doing what God has us doing. He has a ministry with the homeless people in San Antonio. I have my ministry. I'm going to Romania. We are busy about doing God's work, taking that message, helping young people to be equipped to take the message, the gospel plan of salvation to a dying, lost world. Unfortunately, so many people that are studying Bible prophecy don't do anything more than just chase after conspiracy theories and try to find the person that makes the sense to them, the most sense to them. Just read God's word, but let's be doers, not just hearers only. So thank you so much, David, for that confirmation and for sending that in to us, and we appreciate your thoughts and confirming what we've been saying all along. Appreciate that. Dwayne sends in a question. He says, does Babylon have to be destroyed before the rapture of the church? No. Dwayne, there's a revelation, and you're talking about Revelation 18 and the destruction of Babylon. And that happens at the end of the seven-year period of time. Remember, you have the rapture of the church, and the beginning of the tribulation period starts with Revelation chapter 6, that man on a white horse, the Antichrist, comes. According to Daniel chapter 9, he confirms a peace agreement with Israel, and that's what starts that 70th week that David Walsh was talking about, that we've talked about for a long time. That begins that tribulation period. At the midway point, the Antichrist leaves that seven-hilled city of Rome, which is talked about in Revelation chapter 17. That's where he sets up his headquarters, in that seven-hilled city. And at the time that John wrote this message, the scriptures that he had received, the prominent seven-hilled city was Rome at that time. And that, and we've documented that. That's the Treaty of Rome that was signed. That's the center will be the headquarters for the Antichrist. We've got a great DVD on called Rome Rising. And I think that you will find that fascinating. And but at the midway point, he leaves Rome. He destroys that false church that he had set up, that he builds, and that's pertaining to the next part of your question, who is Mystery Babylon? Some say it's America. Now, America, we talk about using the proper hermeneutics, and who was the author writing to at the time that these things were written? He's talking about, and Mystery Babylon, mystery is not in the title. The title really is referring to Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots, and the abominations of the earth. And it's really referring to, and you look in Revelation chapter 17, it is describing the false church, the whore church, the harlot church. We are the bride of Christ. We're that pure virgin church of body of believers that have been made pure through the death of Jesus Christ. We're a part. He's the bridegroom. We are the bride. And the complete opposite of that is this whore. And that is what's being described in Revelation chapter 17. So using the hermeneutics, the United States is not mentioned. I know a lot of people try to tie that to the United States, but you have to see the description. It's really talking about this whore church that began all the way back in the city of Babylon, when it was actually called Babel, when Nimrod and Semiramis came together, and that's where the first mother-son cult came together from there. And we've documented this again. I know I'm not doing it justice in this short amount of time, but you can go and purchase our Rome Rising DVD, and that will document everything. In fact, we shot portions of that in the Vatican in the city of Rome, and it documents everything from Babel to Pergama in Turkey, one of those seven churches that Christ wrote a message to, sent a letter to through John. and then it made its way up into Rome. And so you see this false church that is going to be set up and headquartered, that the Antichrist, the false prophet, will be in charge of the false church, that whore church, that Babylon the Great, the harlot, and that's what it's talking about. So that's who it's referring to. But Babylon will be destroyed at the end of the seven-year period of time after the Antichrist comes to Jerusalem from Rome. This is Revelation, and he sets up the abomination of desolation that Jesus Christ talked about, and then from there he goes and establishes headquarters in Babylon. And for the last 3.5 years of the tribulation period, that's where he will be headquartered from. The mark of the beast is set up, the riches of Babylon, and that's that whole description in Revelation 18. And that happens at the end of the seven-year period of time. So hopefully that helps you out, John, Dwayne, and I hope that makes it clearer for you. But I would look at our DVD. I'm happy about it. I helped produce that. In fact, I did all the shooting of it and put it together, and I think that you would like it. Well, that's all the time that we have this week for Prophecy Q&A. Next week, I'll be coming to you from Bucharest, Romania, and hopefully we'll have we'll take care of some Q&A while I'm there in Romania. But I want you to hear from Dr. Heath Marion, who will be with me teaching, and from Julian as to how the school is going in our first week of teaching the modules to the students that are there. Man, so much is happening in our world. And let me just encourage each and every one of you, you know, as you use Bible prophecy in your lives, use it to motivate you to be about what God has for you, specifically for you, God's plan for your life, and do it. Be busy doing that right now. Don't be putting your head in the sand. Don't be hiding. Don't be storing up, you know, food for the future. You know, it's coming. I know a lot of Christians are kind of scared right now as to what's going to happen in September. You know, I'm excited about what's going to happen in September, but it could happen today. And it might not happen until December or 2 years from now. But let's get excited about the rapture of the church and the Lord take us away before the tribulation period starts. And with so much happening in the world, we're seeing prophecies that are setting up events that will take place during the tribulation. They're not happening yet. It's just setting them up. But that is there so that we can understand the times in which we're living. Let's be busy. Let's keep looking up until.